Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Apologia TV. I'm here, Jeff the Ninja, with Marcus King Ginger Pittman and Joy the Girl, Tembi. Yeah. And we are still in our makeshift studio right now as the new studio is really actually almost done.
It's almost done.
Murphy's Law, though, right?
Yeah.
If something can go wrong, will go wrong, and that's what we've experienced the last couple of days, actually, as we're polishing up the stuff for the new set for the show. Next week with Jeff Durbin airs, it'll be airing on Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Facebook Live for sure, possibly YouTube as well, and so be on the lookout for that. And don't forget, everybody, to go to endabortionnow.com and get connected with your church. Right now, over 180 churches across the United States connected with EndAbortionNow.com to get free training, free resources to bring the gospel with us to their local abortion mills. We've seen now hundreds of children's lives saved through that work, and the gospel proclaimed thousands and thousands of times. So, in light of even that discussion, how do we ever get to this place? It's a good conversation to have, an important conversation to have, and so we're going to have it right now. And to do that, we have a special guest today, Dr. Roger Schultz. He is the dean College of Arts and Sciences, professor of history. Dr. Schultz is the dean of College of Arts and Sciences at Liberty University. He previously served as chair of the history department at Liberty and has taught at Virginia Internment College, the University of Arkansas, and Oak Hills Christian College. He is a member of the Phi Beta Kappa Society. His specialty is American religious history, and he is interested in the interaction of religion and culture. His recent work deals with Christians in the American Revolution, biblical principles of government, and American fundamentalism. He teaches regular courses, the World of Jonathan Edwards. That sounds awesome. American Christian Heritage and American Revolution. Dr. Roger Schultz, welcome to Apologia TV, brother.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
It's an honor to have you. All right, so let's talk. Dr. Schultz, you have done a lot of work studying and understanding the life and the work of J. Gresham Machen, and we'd love to talk to you just a bit as a launching point about his life and his work.
He was a Presbyterian, by the way.
He was a Presby?
Yeah, he was a Presbyterian.
Right on.
That's why I told you we should have Marcus been on the show.
That's right.
Just thought I would throw that out there.
That's right. So we're a mixed bag here, Dr. Schultz. We're a Reformed Baptist. We got a Presbyterian here. And so I'd love to talk about his fight against liberalism and even government schools. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, well, Machen was an incredible Christian leader, and he was an example of Old Princeton. Old Princeton Theological Seminary was a bastion of the faith, and he really maintained a conservative and evangelical perspective well into the 20th century, and he's the last great figure of Old Princeton. But he understood the great battle against modernism and liberalism, and he has a classic work called Christianity and Liberalism, published in the early 1920s, that puts things in such clear perspective. When I think about the works that have really made a big impact on my life, Christianity and Liberalism is that book. It's easy to get a hold of. It's available free online. He puts in such clarity issues of the gospel and the true biblical faith. And then that fight was also carried over into the realm of education, which many of the Princetonians have been very concerned about as well.
Right. And so this is that monumental work that many people, this was like, I mean, Dr. Schultz, like required reading not very long ago in seminaries. I mean, I can remember that book being discussed in school and being a part of coursework.
It was written in the 1890s.
Okay. Well,
so it's really prophetic.
Yeah, in a sense it was. So, well, let's start with the foundations. So what were the main foundations that Machen was going after in Christianity and liberalism?
Well, he argued that there was a true biblical faith, genuine Christianity, and he argued that liberalism was an entirely different kind of religion. So it's not that liberalism was just a different kind of Christianity that was more flexible and more tolerant, but it was a fundamentally different kind of religion. So true, biblical Christianity was supernatural. It asserted the existence of God, a God who had spoken in his word, which was therefore inerrant, inspired, infallible. It emphasized that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God. It emphasized his redeeming work on the cross. It emphasized propositional truth so that the doctrines expressed in the Bible are true and trustworthy. Liberalism was a naturalistic religion that if they saw any truth in the Bible, it was just sort of general human truth expressed. Jesus was really a man, a very exemplary man, but a man. His death on the cross was tragic, and it might show us something about suffering, but it was not redemptive. And doctrinal truth wasn't really very important. It was much more impressive, impressionistic and subjective. So Machen, unlike others, argued that there were two fundamentally different religions at play, locked in a struggle against one another.
Okay. Well, Dr. Schultz, when you think about that work that Machen was involved in and what he was trying to sound the alarm against, what are some of the things that had an impact on us as a culture and society today, either in the church or outside of it? So he was trying to warn others about consequences that were looming. And what have we actually experienced that Machen was trying to warn us about?
Yeah, Machen warned about a number of things. He argued here that the modernists were challenging the church and were about ready to take it over. And that's what happened in the Presbyterian Church. So he wrote this particular book in 1923. By 1929, Princeton was reorganized, which gave liberals more control. And Machen would go on to create his own seminary, Westminster Theological Seminary. He would create his own mission board because the Presbyterian Mission Board had drifted into liberalism. That was the independent board for Presbyterian foreign missions. He eventually created a new denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, when he was pitched out of the Presbyterian Church USA. He founded a great newspaper, the Presbyterian Guardian, to champion issues of the faith, really created new conservative institutions in the 1920s and 30s as liberals took control of the Presbyterian Church. But he called it. He called the modernist takeover of the Presbyterian Church. And if your listeners are interested in this, they can see a fascinating example of how an evangelical denomination could go bad. But beyond that, he argues that there were different approaches to culture. And so you have some people who just give in to culture, whatever the modern world wants to do. The church has to conform to that. And these are people who were culturalists. They would just give in to culture. Christianity must be subordinated to culture.
Hang on to that, Dr. Schultz. Hang on to that thought right there.
Ahead.
We'll be right back, guys. Apologia TV. Get us at ApologiaStudios.com. Right back with Dr. Roger Schultz.
This is Mortimer with Apologia Radio. I want to ask for y'all good friends of ours to go on and click that button there and become my friends on the Bookface. Facebook.com/Apologia Radio. Become my friend on YouTube. That there, twerker. The twerker, I want to talk to you on the twerking. And send me out a twerk. What? Wait, what? Twitter. Apologia Radio on Twitter. And also want to tell you, we talk about apologetics and theology, and we do a lot of swing dancing, and we make a delicious chicken gravy. ApologiaRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Apologia TV in the makeshift studio right now with King Ginger, Joy the Girl, myself, on with Dr. Roger Schultz of Liberty University. Dr. Schultz, we finished that last segment. You were talking about Christians bending to culture. I'd love to hear you finish that discussion.
Sure. Sure. Machen, in 1923, Christianity and liberalism, argued that there were two great forces, two religious systems at war. But in an earlier work in 1913, Christianity and Culture, which again is available online through the Princeton Seminary Review, he argued that there were three different groups: the modernists or culturalists, who wanted to see Christianity subordinated to culture; another group were the pietists or anti-culturalists, where they saw complete opposition between Christianity and culture, and they argued that Christians should just remove themselves from the fray and not engage modern culture. And then a third group, and this is what he was advocating, consecrationists, where Christianity should transform the culture. And he's very passionate about this. He believes that Christians should be involved. They should engage the culture. He says in this essay, "Let us go forth joyfully and enthusiastically to make the world subject to God." He wanted to see the Christian faith pervading all of Christian thought. And that's what he was really calling his generation to do. I'm not sure they did a very good job at it, but boy, it seems to me that his exhortation is as applicable to us today as it was to his generation 100 years ago.
That's powerful, Dr. Schultz. Wow. Sounds like Machen was a postmillennialist, right? At least
well,
in practice,
his
principle.
Eschatology probably wasn't as crafted and defined as some later would be, but there is certainly an encouraging voice. He says that modern culture has to be subservient to gospel or a foe of the gospel. And so he wanted to see the Christian faith transform modern culture. But he really calls people to work. It's not just enough to say, well, I'd like to see culture be better, be right, more holy, or be more righteous.
Yeah.
He argues that to accomplish that, people must study, they must work, they must apply themselves to their intellectual tasks. His concern was for people who say that religion is a matter of the heart, and as long as you feel the right things and have the correct sentiments, that's enough. He wanted to see regenerate people, truly Christian people, apply themselves with their hands and their minds to working with the culture. You know, a couple of weeks back, I was at this great conference for young people. Marcus spoke there.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus really challenged young people who wanted to do things culturally with music and film to be at work, to do things, not just to talk about it, not just to go to school and study it or think about it, but actually get out there and do something. And I thought, what Marcus was challenging these young people to do is very much what Machen was challenging his seminary students to do. That was to work hard with original languages, with scientific inquiry, whatever it took, to be able to master the discipline so that they could speak to the culture.
That's powerful. Hey, Dr. Schultz, the way you describe that, I love this discussion. It sounds to me like, there's obviously elements of all three of those groups that you described, that Machen was describing there, across our culture today. But that second group, though, the pietists that sort of disengage from culture, seems to be heavily impacting the culture today. In a tremendous way.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And these are people that he had a lot of kinship with, right? Mm-hmm. They love the Lord.
Right.
They believe the Bible. In spiritual things, he was on the same page with them. They were committed to the same things, but they just wanted to retreat and kind of hold on or hang out or do whatever. And Machen believed that the Bible requires us to apply the Word of God to every area of life. Not only does the gospel go throughout the world and touch every man, but he says it must touch every area of every man. In other words, a full application of the Word of God to every dimension of life. It's a really powerful and a challenging call.
Man, I like this guy. A lot.
Yeah, man. Seriously.
Oh, he's incredible.
He is incredible. And I've read Machen stuff, and I've read it's a little bit, but I haven't really got into it to understand what his full perspective was. It's compelling.
That was right at the start of dispensationalism too.
Ah, yeah, when it was really getting kicked off. Yeah,
yeah, so not to get Dr. Schultz in trouble because he goes to Liberty.
No. Yeah, but no, it's good to understand. Well, I have one last. Go ahead.
You mentioned that the Liberty Connection, the very first chapel service I went to, that's convocation. We have three a week required for students and faculty. Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. was speaking. And he was getting old. He was getting up about 70. And he said, people ask if I have a plan for retirement. And he said, I don't have time to retire. I've got no plans to retire. He said, in fact, I've got a 30-year plan. Here's a 70-year-old man with a 30-year plan. He said, I'd like to recapture America, win the world for Jesus, and in 30 years be sitting in my rocking chair at the front gate of Liberty University welcoming the children and grandchildren back to study. Wow. And I heard that and I thought, wow, nice. I have never heard anyone speak with as much confidence about engaging the culture, global evangelization, and then seeing the blessings of a gospel outreach extend to the next generations as those students and alumni's children and grandchildren would be coming to the university.
Powerful stuff. Man, that's awesome. One last question I have, guys, is... can you give us a brief touch? What happened? I mean, he creates these institutions. You look at those. What happened? What are some of the results, good and bad? What's taken place?
Sure. Well, one of the things, Machen died early. He died prematurely from our perspective. He was speaking a lot. His health wasn't good. He was preaching out in North Dakota in the wintertime. You know, bad idea, got pneumonia and died. And so when Machen died, conservative Presbyterians, who were probably the leading intellectual voices amongst conservative evangelicals, they lost their best advocate. And it's unfortunate. It's neither here nor there. We believe that the Lord does all things well. But that was one of the negative things that happened. But I think Machen's had such a powerful influence. If you read his books, you know, Christianity and Liberalism, or The Virgin Birth of Christ, which is a scholarly study showing that what the liberals and modernists had claimed was wrong, The Origin of Paul's Religion, arguing the same thing, he laid a great foundation for the future. I always urge students to read his inaugural editorial in the Presbyterian Guardian from October of 1935, when he talks about what a pitiful condition the world is in. And he said that there's soul-killing despotism all over in Europe, in Russia and Italy and Germany. This is the time of the rise of totalitarianism. He says the world is poised for another world war, which is exactly what happened. He talked about our own country, where there was no regard for the Constitution, the days of FDR, mm-hmm. how church courts had become corrupt and tyrannical and bureaucratic. And he paints this really discouraging picture for 2.5 columns. But then he said, we're not worried about it, because we don't stand on any of these things in the shifting scene. Instead, we stand on the one thing that does not change, and that one thing is the Word of God. Mm. And so for 2.5 columns, there's a bleak comment about the terrorism and despotism internationally and the loss of freedom and bureaucratic government nationally. It sounds a lot like, you know, things we've seen in our own lifetime.
Right.
But he said, we don't worry about that because our anchor is the unchangeable Word of God. It's a tremendous statement.
Mm, that's powerful stuff. So we're going to go to a commercial break here. Dr. Schultz, if somebody wanted to get, say, a book about Machen and then a book from Machen, 40 seconds, what should they get?
Get Christianity and Liberalism. It's great. Stuff on Machen, go to opc.org, which is the Orthodox Presbyterian website. They've got a lot of biographical sketches of Machen.
Excellent. All right, guys. So Apologia Studios is where you get more episodes. Make sure you get some episodes. Share them with your friends and family. Don't forget to sign up for All Access. When you do, you partner with Apologia Church. You make all this content possible, and you get every TV show, every after show, and you get Apologia Academy. We get to get hooked up with lots of apologetics courses, theology, amazing stuff. Be right back, guys, with Dr. Roger Schultz right here on Apologia TV.
If you can think of the flinch of their mind, when you throw a ball at somebody, some people jump back and some people reach forward to catch it. We want to shape graduates who their mind flinches in terms of cultural influence. When they hear an argument that needs to be engaged with, when they see a message that needs to be dealt with, that we want people who jump towards it and go after it. And that's what our curriculum is about.
Everybody to Apologia TV with King Ginger, Joy the Girl, and myself on with Roger Schultz today of Liberty University talking about, we talk a lot about J. Gresham Machen and his work for the Kingdom of God not very long ago, actually, and some amazing things. And you're right, just in a way, kind of prophetic.
Yeah.
So Marcus, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I just want just to mention the fact that J. Gresham Machen was a Presbyterian.
That's it. You're very excited about all this.
You already mentioned that.
I just want to make sure that... Did we say that yet? He was Presbyterian, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Schultz, I have a question for you in terms of like... Because he also did some stuff where in which he fought against... Was it government education?
Yeah, and let me talk about this because there's a fascinating history with Old Princeton. The people at Old Princeton were really troubled with the move towards common schools or government schools with public education because they argued that when you did that, you'd always have to speak to the lowest common denominator, and religion, the Christian faith, which had to be central to education, would ultimately be driven out. So you can find comments about that with Charles Hodge, but especially with A.A. Hodge, Charles Hodge's son. And he's the one that wrote this tremendous book in 1890, Evangelical Theology. And I really commend this book. It's available online with free access. And his chapters on the Lordship of Christ are so strong. But he says this, if every party in the state has the right of excluding from the public schools whatever he does not believe to be true, then he believes most must give way to him that believes least, and then he that believes least must give way to him that believes absolutely nothing, no matter how small a minority the atheists or agnostics may be. It is self-evident that this scheme, if consistently and persistently carried out in all parts of the country, the United States system of national popular education will be the most efficient and wide instrument for the propagation of atheism which the world has ever seen.
Dude.
He wrote that in 1890.
That's right, yes.
And he argues that there is a secularist trend. It's going to rip out the religious foundation of education and be a vehicle for atheism.
So that was, Dr. Schultz, that was A.A. Hodge that said that?
A.A. Hodge in Evangelical Theology in 1890.
Right, right.
I didn't know that was 5 years ago.
I've heard that quote before, and I've talked about that quote before, but I always forgot who it was from.
Yeah.
So I use that in my talks. Because it was
Archibald Alexander Hodge, A.A.
Okay.
Hodge, Evangelical Theology. Here's his conclusion. I am as sure as I am of the fact of Christ's reign that a comprehensive and centralized system of national education separated from religion, as is now commonly proposed, will prove the most appalling enginery for the propagation of anti-Christian, atheistic unbelief and of anti-social, nihilistic ethics, individual, social, and political, which this sin-rent world has ever seen.
No kidding! Whoa!
Now, Machen picks up this. So, in the 19-teens, when Woodrow Wilson was considering a federal Department of Education, Machen shows up as the expert witness against it. He says, don't do it. This isn't a federal deal. Don't do it. We don't want a national Department of Education. And in Christianity and Liberalism, which is a book about evangelical Christianity versus modernistic liberalism, he starts off with the whole opening chapter fussing about common schools or public education. He says it's just filled with materialistic paternalism and sordid utilitarianism. Listen to this quotation. place the lives of children in their formative years, despite the convictions of their parents, under the intimate control of experts appointed by the state, force them to attend schools where the higher aspirations of humanity are crushed out, and where the mind is filled with materialism of the day, it is difficult to see how even the remnants of liberty can subsist. Such a tyranny, supported as it is by a perverse technique used in the instrument of destroying human souls, is far more dangerous than the crude tyrannies of the past, which, despite their weapons of fire and sword, permitted thought, at least, to be free. You know, he argued that
goodness,
this would fuel socialism.
Right.
It would tear out individual freedom.
Oh, my goodness.
A socialistic state would mean the reduction to a minimum of the sphere of individual choice. In other words, he argued that this movement towards secularized government schools would not only kill religious thought, but would also destroy individual liberty and launch a movement towards socialism and statism. 1923, Christianity and Liberalism.
Why didn't we listen?
The introduction.
Why didn't we fight harder? Goodness.
Seriously.
Well, what the liberals did to Machen is one of the reasons why people didn't fight harder. You know, liberals saw him as the arch foe. I mean, they just had to get him out of the church. And so he was fighting kind of a guerrilla war ever after. And if you read the politics of that, how they corruptly managed the Machen case, it's absolutely unbelievable.
Mm.
Liberals like power, whether liberals in the state or liberals in the church, and they use their power to silence or attempt to silence Machen.
Yeah. Killed Princeton.
And killed the legacy of old Princeton.
Yes. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Well, and then is it because of old Princeton that Westminster Theological Seminary was formed?
That's correct. He formed that in 1929 after Old Princeton was reorganized, and Westminster still continues to this day.
So that was a response to liberal
a direct
education.
Response to the liberal takeover of the seminary.
Mm. Huh.
Well, hey, Dr. Schultz, what we want to do, actually, if you don't mind, is just stay on for a couple of more minutes. This is a great discussion to have, and I'm in love with you. So I want to finish this conversation, and we're going to just do a quick little after show. You guys can listen to more with Dr. Schultz in the after show just for a couple minutes here. Go to ApologiaStudios.com, and when you do, you guys can partner with Apologia Church. It's ApologiaStudios.com.
Yeah.
Just go there. You'll see the button. Sign up. When you do, you get every TV show, some amazing, amazing guests, and long history, great after shows, and Apologia Academy, which will be adding some new things very, very soon that'll just bless your life. So, amazing discussion. Awesome stuff. Marcus King Ginger, Jeff the Ninja, Joy the Girl. Stay with us. ApologiaStudios.com. Over there, Dr. Schultz with Liberty University. Going to continue this discussion talking about liberalism, Christianity, public schools. We'll see you over there. The conversation is going to continue at ApologiaRadio.com. That's where we're going to have our after show. We're going to have more content, more conversations, some really great stuff. You go over there to get it at ApologiaRadio.com by becoming All Access. Go check it out.